Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, my dear friends. Our study together is in the Gospel of John, and we have arrived to John chapter 14, and we will continue from verse 16 to the end of the chapter, verse 31. In this 14th chapter, our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, was just about to depart from the disciples, going to the Garden of Gethsemanim, the Garden of Gethsemane, in Hebrew Gethsemanim. There he will anticipate his death as a substitute. From there he will be taken to the high priest, and then later on to Pilate, and from Pilate to the cross, to the tree, where he will pay for the sin of this world. And so while he is just about to depart to leave his disciples, he is in the upper room with the disciples in chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, and chapter 17 on the way to the Garden of Gethsemanim. And as he is sitting there in the upper room in the city of Jerusalem with his disciples, he is preparing them for his departure. And in the 14th chapter, this is Yeshua, the Messiah, is encouraging the disciples, giving them assurances. In Hebrew we say havtachot, assurances that they should get hold of while he will be away from them. Let me read the verses now. John chapter 14 from verse 16 to verse 31, and we will continue to see the promises that he made to his disciples in the upper room in Jerusalem. We read in verse 16, he continued to speak to the disciples in the upper room by saying, "And I will pray the Father, the Abba, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loved me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Ishkrayot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Yeshua answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Yeshua continued in verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace, that is, shalom, I leave with you. My peace, shlomi, I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but I unto you give it. Giveth I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And this is the end of chapter 14, from verses 16 to verse 31. So, beloved brothers and sisters, to remind you that in John chapter 14, the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, gives his disciples six assurances that they can stand upon and be encouraged, knowing that he is gone back to heaven. Now, to remind you, they were with him, they followed him. You remember Yeshua earlier, have called one by one. He called them to become his disciples. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they became fishers of men, dayagim. They were the ones that now followed him, and they learned from him and sat at his feet, learned from what he had to say. They have been growing in their appreciation of the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. They began to understand that the leaders of Israel will not accept him at his first coming. They are limited in their understanding, but they are growing in appreciation of the teaching of Yeshua the Messiah. And here now he is anticipating to be returning back to the Father. But how? You remember what he said in chapter 14, verses 1 and 2 and 3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, knew that they were troubled, that they were concerned, because he was just about to depart. And that's why he used the word, let not your heart be troubled. Of course, in chapter 14, verse 1, it's a continuation from chapter 13. He was specifically speaking to Simon Peter singularly. That's why the word heart is singular here. But then he continued, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, trust in me, not only Simon Peter, but all the disciples. Judas Iskariot, Yehuda Iskariot, have already left. He have gone out, and it was dark, and he is in preparation to sell the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And so now he is speaking to the 11 in the upper room in the city of Jerusalem, celebrating Pesach with them, introducing, as we know from other gospels, the fact, the new covenant in his blood, when he gave the bread, and he said, this is my body which is given for you. And he gave them the cup after supper, said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. In other words, he prepared them for his death on that Roman cross. Now they are, again, beloved brothers and sisters, as they are growing with their appreciation of who Yeshua is, still now to have him telling that he is going to die, this is something that was heavy upon the hearts of the Talmidim who followed him throughout the 3.5 years of his public ministry. And so six assurances he had given unto them. We have learned already in verses 1 to 6, he gave them the assurance that they will come to be with him in heaven. Because he did say, I will go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Secondly, in the following verses, verses 7 to 11, not only that they will go to be with him in heaven, but also he assured them that because they know him, that is the Son of God, the Mashiach, the Messiah, who is God the Son, they also know the Father. That's why he said to Philip in verse 9, Philip, he that have seen me have seen the Father. So knowing the Son, the Mashiach, Yeshua, Jesus, God the Son, is really knowing the Father, the Abba. Then later on in verses 12 to 15, which we have also covered, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, he also, Yeshua, also assured them that they have the privilege to pray and to ask, and he promised that whatever ye shall ask in my name, verse 13, that will I do. So there are three assurances that he have already given to them as he is there in the upper room in Jerusalem with his disciples, anticipating his departure through the cross where he will shed his precious blood for the redemption of many. And so now in verses 16 on to the end of the chapter, the Lord, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, continued to give the assurances that he wanted the disciples to have, and he wants you and I to have today. If you and I belong to the Lord, if you have accepted the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, as your Savior and Lord, if you invited him into your heart, confessed your sins, realize that you are by nature and by practice a sinner, and that you need forgiveness of sins, and you have turned to the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, here is the promises for you and I today, as it was for the believers. You and I will surely go to be with him in glory in heaven. He will come to take the heavenly company to be with him. Secondly, you and I know the Father, because anyone who knows the Son also knows the Father, because God, the Godhead, the unity of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, one God, three persons, and the Son of God who became a man, who became the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Anointed One, he reveals to us the Father. Thirdly, all of us who are believers, we have the assurance that when we ask in prayer, God will answer, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Sometime he will say yes, sometime he will say no, sometime he will say wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so from verse 16 to 18, the Lord Jesus the Messiah gave them the fourth assurance that they should get hold of. And that is the assurance that they will have the person of the Holy Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, to be indwelt in them and to assist them and you and I, my dear friend, in our life here upon the face of this earth while the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is absent. So notice verses 16, 17, 18, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And so you notice in these three verses, verses 16, 17, and 18, the Lord gives the assurance that he will send the person of the Holy Spirit of God to indwell every one of these disciples who truly belong to the Lord. And of course, you and I who are believers today, and every true believer in Jesus the Messiah during this present day of the church age. Now notice it is very interesting because in verse 16, the encouragement that the disciples receive is that the Holy Spirit of God will come to be with them. So you notice it says in verse 16, who is that person? This is the Holy Spirit of God. What does he do and how will he work? And you notice we read, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And then the first part of verse 17, even the Spirit of Truth. That word in Hebrew, Spirit of Truth, is Ruach HaEmet. Now you notice that in these verses, verses 16 and 17, we have all the three persons of the Godhead presented before us. I, this is Yeshua, Jesus, God the Son. It's man who is speaking here. I will pray the Father. This is God the Father, Elohim Abba, and he shall give you another of the same kind, another comforter of the same kind. In other words, another person of the Godhead. This time, he tells them in verse 17, even the Spirit of Truth. Now, this is very interesting. The word in verse 16, comforter, it's really parakletos in the Greek. And the Hebrew word here in verse 16 for the word comforter is the word melitz. Melitz is someone that comes alongside to help. Someone who will come to aid the disciples in their life on earth and in their ministry upon the face of this earth. In other words, the Lord was their comfort as long that he was here with the disciples, but now he is about to leave them. So who will encourage them? Who will strengthen them? Who will come alongside to help them? Well, Parakletos is one that is coming alongside to help. In Hebrew, the word melitz or lehamlitz, to aid, to recommend, to give counsel, to assist. And this is very beautiful because that person is one of the same kind. In other words, God the Son as man was there to comfort the disciples when he was here on earth. Now that he will go back to the Father through the death, burial, and resurrection, then another person of the Godhead, namely the Holy Spirit of God, will come to comfort them, to come alongside, to help them in their life, in their ministry. He is the advocate. He is the melitz. He is the paraclete who is going to come alongside to help and to represent them. You know, when you need a representation at a court session, well, the one who represents us at the court is an advocate. And here is the one that will represent the people of God. And notice what we read here in verse 17, that he is called the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth, Ruach HaEmet. Remember, a bit earlier, Yeshua said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is God the Son as man. Here we find out that God, the Holy Spirit of God, is also the Spirit of Truth. This is wonderful expression that is mentioned in John 14 and verse 17. That same expression is mentioned in chapter 15 as well, and in verse 26 where we read, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth. Again, you notice, he is called in the Scripture the Spirit of Truth. In chapter 16, he is also called the Spirit of Truth in verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, Again, Ruach HaEmet. This is the person of the Holy Spirit of God. You remember of him we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2 and so on. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, this is God the Holy Spirit, moved upon the face of the waters. In Hebrew, Ruach Elohim merachefet al pnei hamayim. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And so here the Spirit of Truth, God the Holy Spirit, is the one that Yeshua Jesus promised to the disciples to send. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he, notice that, may abide with you. Notice how long, but forever. You see, dear brothers and sisters, the moment we have accepted Yeshua Jesus the Messiah as our Lord and Savior, we now have the person of the Holy Spirit of God with us, with the disciples, with you, with me, not for a short time. He does not come in for a short time and then go out and come in and come out. No, he will abide with you forever, le'olam, forever, even the Spirit of Truth. And you notice what we read about him in verse 17, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, notice that, and shall be in you. Now this is such an important, this is fundamental truth that we all need to get a hold of. You see, the person of the Holy Spirit of God always, always worked upon the face of this earth in every generation. Whenever God does anything upon this earth, it's always in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is a divine person, and he is the one that executes that which the Godhead throughout the ages have set to do. And so whenever you read about the Holy Spirit of God, God by his Spirit does all that which he have done historically, in the present day today, as well as in the future day. But what is unique about this present day age in which we live in is called the Ecclesia, the called out ones, the Jewish believers and Gentile believers in Yeshua the Messiah, the church, the assembly. What we learn here, that now the Holy Spirit of God will not only come to do that which the Godhead do in this world, but the person of the Holy Spirit of God will come to indwell every believer in the Lord Jesus the Messiah. Notice what we read in John 14 and verse 17. He, the Holy Spirit of God, is not merely an influence. He is not an it, but he is a person. As God the Son is a person, as God the Father is a person or a personality within the Godhead, so God the Holy Spirit. That's why the scripture is clear. We read, he will be the one that will abide with you forever. The world seeth him not. The world neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, notice it is interesting because throughout the generation in our people's Israel's history, the Holy Spirit of God did come and did minister to the people of Israel, but the Spirit of God never indwelt anyone throughout the history until the Messiah came to die and to be buried and to rise again. Only at that time he came to indwell every true believer who is part of the church, of the assembly, of the ecclesia. Why? Because now God the Son came. He became a man. He will live. He will die. He will be resurrected and ascended. And now we live in a unique day, unique era called the era of the assembly, the church age. Now, of course, it hadn't begun yet in John 14 because the church was not formed as yet. Jesus, the Messiah, hasn't died as yet. He will die. He will be buried and will rise again. And on the feast of Pentecost, Shavuot, the Spirit of God will come and will form that company called the Ecclesia, the called out one. The church began in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit of God came to indwell all believers. And so, that's why the Lord is so precise here. Yeshua said, He dwelleth with you. He's not yet in you, but He shall be in you. When He shall be in you, because the apostles already were guided by the Holy Spirit. They were born again. They were believers in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. They were believers in the God of Israel. Every true believer in every generation is born by God. The expression born again, of course, is a New Testament language, but everyone in every age who were ever forgiven of sins, he is born of the Spirit of God, even though he was not part of the church age. David said in days of old, take not thy Holy Spirit of God from me in the Psalm 51. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God was one that was upon David, and David was a believer, a child of God, part of the nation of Israel. And every true believer in every generation was saved, forgiven, redeemed, born by the Holy Spirit of God. But in no other period of time in the history of humanity did the Spirit of God came to indwell a person as it is starting or will begin when the Spirit of God will come and come and form the body of Messiah in Acts chapter 2. You remember in Judges how we read Samson, for example, who was a man that the Spirit of God used him. You remember the verse in Judges chapter 13. We read in verse 24 and 25 when Shimshon, Samson, have fell because of Delilah. It said, and the woman bare a son, and she called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at a time in the camp of Dan between Tzorea and Taol. And you see, Samson was moved by the Holy Spirit of God, but Samson was not indwelled by the Spirit of God, as we have the promise here by the Lord Jesus the Messiah to the disciples in the upper room. So there are many verses that we can read in chapter 14 of the book of Judges. There we read in verse 6, Judges 14 and verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Notice that, very interesting. A little bit later on, in verse 19, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The expression is upon him, upon him, upon him, alav, but not indwelled. He did not indwell by the Holy Spirit of God. That only began from the time that Yeshua died, was buried, rose again, and sent the Holy Spirit of God to be the one that will indwelled all true believers. Just to read to you in Judges chapter 14 and verse 19, where we read, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In the Hebrew it says, Vatitzlach alav ruach Adonai. Vatitzlach means that the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. Titzlach alav, not titzlach betocho, alav upon him. And that's why the scripture is very clear to tell us. This is wonderful because that is what the Lord is teaching the disciples. So now in these verses 16, 17, and 18, there is a promise for the disciples that the Spirit of God will dwell in them. And he is a person, not an it, but he. Even the Spirit of Truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive because the world is blinded to the Messiahship of the Lord Jesus. They reject him, the world, because it seeth him not, neither do they know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, because the Spirit of God dwelt with the disciples here and now when they were there with Yeshua the Messiah. As he was in every other generation in Israel's history, leading the people, in guiding them, and leading them into walking with him, victories after victories. But now he will come to be, he shall be in you, verse 17 at the end. And then I will not leave you comfortless, verse 18, I will come to you. In other words, even the Lord himself assured them that he will come unto them through the power of the Spirit of God, which will indwell each and every one that had followed after him. I just wanted to mention in these verses, the person of the Holy Spirit of God, he will be the one that will come to indwell every true believer. Believers must glorify the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and they are the one that to give him honor and glory, and their Spirit of God will be the one that will guide them and will instruct them. So he not only will dwell with you, but he shall be in you. And I believe, beloved friend, that it's very important to understand the person of the Holy Spirit of God. You remember what the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus? He must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again. So being born of the Spirit is becoming a child of God. To remind you what Paul, Shaul, wrote later on to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, he wrote to them in chapter 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit, namely the Holy Spirit of God, ye are all baptized into one body. It is by the Spirit of God that one is being placed, put into the body of Christ, the body of the Messiah. Beautiful to know this. So, notice also, and I just really have to impress this upon all of us, my dear friend, that he will dwell and abide with you. Notice where there the Lord is assuring them in John chapter 14, he will dwell in you and he will dwell with them forever. He will not leave them. He will not leave them. He may abide with you forever. And so when it comes to salvation, a person that have truly have accepted the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, can never become unsaved. Once a person is truly a child of God, he can never become a person that is no longer a child of God. When sin comes into our life, and it does, into the life of God's people, what we need to do is to confess it. That's why we have the throne of grace. We need to come to the Lord. If you should confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if a believer does not confess his or her sins, they cannot enjoy their salvation. But they are surely belong to the Lord, and the Lord will chasten his own people. He will deal with us as he has dealt in every generation with his own people. But salvation and the indwelling of the Spirit of God is a gift of God that was given to every true believer. And that's why when the Lord said he will be with you forever, forever for the Lord is forever. He doesn't say he will be with you as long as you will be faithful, as long that you will never fail. No, he said he may abide with you forever. He will dwell with you and shall be in you. So sometimes one wonder about the truth of salvation. And here, beloved friend, it is very important to understand. The Lord already taught it earlier when he said in John 10, He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they shall follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life. Not a short time life, not a certain time of life, as long as they are faithful, but I give unto them eternal life, forever, and they shall never perish. And here we have the Holy Spirit of God shall be with you forever. This is so fundamental to understand, because sometimes one feels, am I saved? Am I a child of God? Am I born of the Spirit? Is the Spirit of God indwelt in me? And here we learn the lesson that the Spirit of God will dwell with the believer, abide with him or with her forever. But the believer can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The believer can quench the Holy Spirit of God. But the believer never lose the person of the Holy Spirit of God to be indwelt in him once he or she truly, sincerely, truthfully have repented of their sins and became born of the Spirit of God. And so the beautiful passage here in verses 16, 17, and 18 is the assurance that the Spirit of God is dwelt with every true believer in the Lord Jesus the Messiah. Now, what is the difference between the church age and the days before when Israel, our people, were under the law? As I mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit of God never indwelt in the believer in days of old as it is now after the Messiah came and died and paid for the sin of this world. And that's why we live in a unique age. But you see, David, as a believer in the age of the law, of the Torah, among our people of Israel, when he sinned, he did pray in repentance, saying in verse 11 of Psalm 51, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You see, the Holy Spirit of God could come out of David because sin came into his life, but the Holy Spirit of God could not come out today from a believer because the Lord Jesus the Messiah just said in John 14, this Comforter will abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. But David was a believer, even though the Spirit of God came out of him, not allowing him to be used by God because of sin. Once he repented and confessed, he received forgiveness, and the Spirit of God continued to come upon him to lead him and to use him. But you see, how do we know that David was a child of God and he never lost his eternal relationship with God? Because it says in the next verse of Psalm 51, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He doesn't say, restore unto me thy salvation, Yeshuatcha, no. But restore unto me the joy. You see, a believer that lives in sin, whether it is under the law before the Messiah came, or whether it is under grace when the Messiah came and died and was buried, whether it's under the history of Israel, the history of the church, a believer will never be able to have joy when he or she are living in sin. Once the sin is judged, confessed, repented before the Lord, then the joy is returning. But the difference is that in the days of old, in the days before the Messiah finished the work of redemption, the Holy Spirit of God came upon God's people, God's servant. And now, after the Messiah finished the work of redemption, he sent the Holy Spirit of God, and Ruach Elohim, the Holy Spirit of God, dwell in the believer, never to leave him forever. And so the promise that the Lord give the disciples is that the Holy Spirit of God will be in you and he will aid you in your life and in your ministry. And how do we need the help of the Spirit of God every day of our life, my dear brothers and sisters? The Holy Spirit of God is to guide us, is to instruct us, is to convict us. That is the ministry of the person of the Holy Spirit of God, as we learn from that in the Word of God. There's a very interesting verse that is found in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. In the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul said to the believers at Ephesus, he said to them, chapter 1 and verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, namely in the Lord Jesus the Messiah, after that ye heard the word of the truth of the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye have believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Here's the sealing of the believer with the Holy Spirit of promise. But there's always a danger to grieve the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why in Ephesians 4:30, the Apostle Paul said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. To grieve a friend, to grieve the person of the Spirit of God, is possible when God's people are living in unjudged sin. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, Shaul Paul also said to the Thessalonian, quench not the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, grieve not the Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, quench not the Spirit. When we grieve the Spirit or we quench the Spirit, there's no liberty, and in no joy, the cloud above us, no liberty, no joy, until we turn to the Lord in confession and repentance, and then the restoration come, and God delight to restore His people back to a relationship, to an enjoyable relationship with Him. Well, as we are returning now back to our study here in John chapter 14, in verses 19 to 24, Yeshua gives another assurance to the disciples that you can enjoy now the love of the Father, of God the Father. You know, all of us who the Lord blessed us with Abba, with Father, who love us and care for us. And here we find out that the believers can enjoy God the Father now when they are traveling here in this world with all the challenges that we have in our life. And so verse 19 and 20, God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit of God, as Romans 5:5 tells us. And there was an impression, a manifestation of the Spirit of God that helps us to enjoy God the Father. Notice what we read in verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you, he said in verse 18. And then verse 19, he continued, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. He's giving them the assurance that because the Lord, after his death, will rise and he will remain alive and will be glorified, there is an assurance that because he lived, because the Lord Jesus lived, the believers, the disciples, will live also. And notice what he continued to say in verse 20. At that time ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You notice he's encouraging his disciples that they will realize, notice he's telling them at that time, is saying to them, you will know that I am in the Father, that ye are in me. Continue, and I in you. He continues that he that has my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that love me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. You notice now that he draw the disciples to the love of God the Father. You know, the Father and love relationship is an amazing relationship. We read in Scripture the Proverbs. King Solomon said concerning the Messiah that I was his delight at all time. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, before his incarnation, he was daily his delight, the delight of God the Father. But now in verse 20, he says in verse 20 and 21, The Lord is encouraging the disciples to know that He is in the Father, and that the disciples and all believers are in Christ, in the Messiah, and I, the Messiah, in you. In other words, there's a union between God, the Father, God, the Son, and the redeemed, those who belong to Him. It's like a harmony and unity between all those that belong to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. They are linked with God. Why? Because we are forgiven. We have been delivered. The Spirit of God have been indwelt in each and every believer. And there's a link between the children of God along with the Son and with the Father. Then he say in verse 21, He that has my commandment and keep them, he it is that love me. And he that love me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him, and we, notice, we will manifest myself to him. So in other words, the love of the Father and the love of the Son is linked with the children of God, the redeemed. Amazing to know that we as believers are loved by the Father. The Father loved the Son, and that's why He sent Him to redeem us. But the love of the Father towards the Son is the love of the Father also towards those that belong to Him. Why? Because you are in me, He's saying to them, and I in you. Notice that He says in verse 21, He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that really love me. You notice to obey the commandments of the Lord is important, because obedience is a problem. Actually, how sin came in is because of disobedience. To obey the commandments of the Lord is a sign of loving the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And the one that loved the Son, obey the Son. You know, many times in our lives when we don't obey, we really don't express love towards our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And that's why the Lord teaches us an amazing lesson, the importance of having the commandments of the Lord, keeping them, and it is an evidence, a proof that we belong to Him. One of the things that He commanded the disciples already in chapter 13, where He did tell the commandment, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one towards another." This is John 13, verses 34 and 35. And it is essential to love the believers, to love God's people. Now, we often fail in this, beloved brothers and sisters, as Israel in days of old, when there was friction between the nation of Israel, it grieved the heart of God. When there is friction among the believers in this church age, it grieves the heart of God. And that's why the Lord's saying to the disciples that for the Lord to manifest Himself to those that belong to Him in a practical way depended upon the commandments that the believers obey and keep, because the Lord wishes His own to obey His word. And now notice in verse 22, another Yehuda, a Judah, not Iscariot, the Judas Iscariot already left the upper room. Here he asked Yeshua, the Messiah, he says unto him in verse 22, "How is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world?" Well, he wanted to know, how are you going to reveal yourself to us, but not to the others, to the rest? Well, the Lord gives him an answer in verses 23 and 24. Yeshua said, and He answered him, and He said, "If any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abodes, abiding with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me." Now you notice the difference between verse 21 and verse 23. In verse 21, Yeshua said, "He that keepeth," or "he that hath my commandments." This is a direct command. Do this, do this, do this, don't do this. But when we arrive to verse 23, we are drawn even closer. It's no longer only a commandment, but if a man love me, he will keep my word. What is the difference between commandment and word? You see, a commandment is when someone tells us something to do, and we are commanded to do it, and therefore by doing it, we show that we love him. But to obey my words is much more than just obeying a command. Obeying a command means that we were told to do something and we do it. But obeying the words, that means knowing the desire of the Lord and of God the Father, even before he gave us a command, knowing what would please him and obeying it, is really showing love towards God. You remember like a time, it's one thing is when a father would come home from work, ask his son, his child, his son or his daughter, bring me the newspaper or give me my slippers. Well, and the child will obey it. That is obeying a commandment. But on the other hand, if the father will come home and will not even ask to bring the newspaper or the slippers, and the child will bring it out of love for his father, this is obeying the words, not needed to be told to do something, but knowing the heart of God, knowing the heart of our Father. This is so wonderful, the lesson that we learn here in verses 23 and 24. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we, notice, not only I, but we, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, which already will indwell in the believer, we will come unto him and make our abodes with him. Can you imagine how wonderful to know that the Lord desired to be in the heart of God's people who are obeying his word. And so he that loveth me not, this is the world, keepeth not my saying, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. In other words, an evident of loving the Lord Yeshua the Messiah is simply obeying his words and obeying his sayings. The world will never know this relationship because the unregenerated world will never enjoy the manifestation of the person of the Lord Jesus the Messiah because they are unregenerate, they are not saved, they are not forgiven, they are not born by the Spirit. But a true believer is born by the Spirit of God. So, beloved friends, we have covered in verses 16 to verse 18 that the promise and the encouragement that the Lord give, the assurance that the Lord give to the disciples that they will receive the Holy Spirit of God to indwell them and to assist them in their lives when he will be away. Then verses 19 to verse 24, the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, is assuring the disciples that they can enjoy the love of God the Father now while they are here on earth, even before they are going to heaven. And you and I can enjoy the love of God today while we are here in this world before we are going to heaven. And how wonderful to enjoy the love of the Father and to enjoy his love for us when you are in a difficult time, when you are discouraged, when we are in a challenging time in our life. The best thing is to turn to God, to be submissive to him, to obey him, and to obey not only his commandment, but to obey his word. And by obeying his word, his saying, we will enjoy the love of the Father in our hearts, in the power of Ruach HaElohim, the Ruach, the Spirit of God. Well, finally, at the last assurance that the Lord Jesus the Messiah gave his disciples is found in verse 25 to verse 31, to the end of chapter 14, where, notice that, the Lord is assuring the disciples that they have God's gift of peace, of shalom. Not only the shalom of God, but also the shalom with God. We need both. The shalom with God, the peace with God, we have it once we have acknowledged that we have sinned and that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is our Savior, our Messiah, who died for our sins. But the peace of God, shalom ha-Elohim, the peace of God is once we follow the Lord and we live for the Lord here in this world. Notice what he's saying to them here in these verses 25 to verse 31. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. I'm here, I'm still with you, here in the upper room. We just finished the celebration of Pesach. We just have been introduced to the remembrance of my body giving for you and my blood shed for you, which I'm just about to go to the cross to pay for your sins and the sin of the world. I'm still here with you. But notice verse 26, the promise to the disciples that the Comforter, the Paraclete, will come. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You see, the Holy Spirit of God will be the one that will remind the disciples, remind the believer, all that which Yeshua taught them. It will be in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And you notice that again, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, this is God the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, this is God the Father, in my name, this is God the Son, here is the triune God. One God, three persons, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, co-equal, echad, unity. And here we see, he shall teach you all things, and he will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. This is wonderful to know that the ministry of the Spirit of God is to provide assistance and help to the people of God. In verse 26 of chapter 15, we read, when the Comforter is come, of whom I will send unto you from my Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. In other words, the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God is to direct the attention to the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. He shall teach you all things, verse 26. He will bring all things to your remembrance, verse 26b. Whatsoever I've said unto you, you notice. The person of the Holy Spirit of God's ministry in the life of the believer is not to direct the attention of the child of God elsewhere. No, the person of the Spirit of God will take the word of God and will direct the child of God to the person of Yeshua, Jesus, the Mashiach, the Messiah, not to another. In fact, we never read that the Spirit of God will direct the attention of the people of God to himself, even though he is co-equal with God the Father and God the Son, but the attention always to direct to the Messiah, to Jesus the Messiah, God the Son, who became a man, was died, was buried, and rose again for our justification. Notice what we read in verse 27. Here's the word shalom, and my shalom, shlomi, is mentioned here in these last verses. The encouragement that Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, gave to his disciples. In verse 27, Yeshua Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You notice, every time you read in the Hebrew scripture the word shalom, it means wholeness, complete. Shalem in Hebrew means complete. Shalom speaks of peace. when we say shalom when we come, when we say shalom when we seek to live peace with the ones with whom we had time, we had fellowship with. So shalom, I live with you. Now Yeshua is about to leave. He said, I'm leaving shalom, I'm leaving peace with you. But not only a general peace, but my shalom, my peace I give unto you, and not as the world. See, the world never gives shalom, never peace. When you look what's going on in the world in which we live in, there's conflicts and wars and hatred and frictions and all that which bring unrest in this world. Unrest, no shalom here in this world in which we live in, my dear friend. It is the peace that is provided by the Lord Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, who is the one that is living his peace and not another's. In Isaiah chapter 26, we read, Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. You see, when Isaiah was predicting the discipline of the people of Israel because of disobedience, yet God graciously said to the people of Israel in a time when the punishment will come upon them because of evil and sin, and later on the Babylonian will come and take them to Babylon, yet God assures the Hebrews, his own chosen people, that he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And the word for perfect peace is really twice the word shalom, shalom. Thou will keep him in shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Shalom, shalom, peace, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. In other words, the child of God who will rest in the Lord and will trust in the Lord, he will have the double shalom, the double portion of shalom which God desired to give his own people who trust in him. Notice what we read in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace, shalom, shalom to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. I will heal him. Notice, I create the fruit of the lips. Shalom, shalom, larachok velakarov. Peace, peace to him that is afar and to him that is near, says the Lord. And God promised healing to those that have been disciplined by him, and ultimately he's intending to restore Israel in a future day when the tribulation age will come to an end, and he will give Israel the double shalom that he promised to the one who had been scattered far away and to the one that had been scattered close by, the double peace, the shalom, shalom that is promised to those that will be restored by him. And you see, beloved friend, this is so wonderful to know that in verse 27 of John chapter 14, shalom I live with you, my shalom I give you. You notice twice the word shalom, shalom, peace I live with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. In the world you will have tribulation, trouble in this world, conflict in this world, sin and disobedience and all sort of that which is contrary to God here in this world. But the believer will receive the double shalom from Yeshua the Messiah, who is now about to depart back to the Father. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is how Yeshua began chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Once again, in verse 27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And as he is about to conclude here this chapter, in verse 28, 29, 30, and 31, the Lord said, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now, the disciples are called to rejoice. Well, why to rejoice? Because, dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, it is sad, of course, that Yeshua had to suffer and die for the sin of this world, for your sins and mine. But it's such a joy to know that the reason that he suffered in order to provide redemption for us, so to return back, I go away, I'm going away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I go unto the Father. What does that mean, I go unto the Father? Well, he doesn't go to the Father, back to heaven, without to go via the shameful cross, hanging between heaven and earth, paying for the price of the sin of this world. So the disciples are exhorted to rejoice because the work of redemption is about to be completed. Now, they were limited with their understanding, but you can see what the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is seeking to instruct them. He said, my Father is greater than I. Verse 29, and now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and has nothing in me. Notice now, Yeshua the Messiah prepared them to understand that the prince of this world, this is Satan himself, here in verse 30, prince of this world is the one that is coming against the Lord Jesus the Messiah in order to seek to cause him to die. Now notice that this prince of this world coming to try to find something in the Lord, and he could find nothing because Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, was the sinless one, the undefiled, the separate from sinners. The prince of the world cometh. Satan is about to come to seek to bring now others to take me, to capture me, and to take me to the cross, but he found nothing in me, the prince of this world. According to Ephesians chapter 2, we read in verse 1, and you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. My dear friend, this is that Satan himself. He is the prince of the power of the air. This is the one that comes against the Lord, but he found nothing in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we do read about this God of this world with a small g. The God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the glorious gospel of the Messiah, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This is Satan. This is the prince of this world. He comes to find something against Yeshua the Messiah, to accuse him. But he found no sin, nothing in me. Why? Because Yeshua the Messiah was the perfect Lamb of God, the sinless one who was born to the Virgin Miriam in the city of Bethlehem, the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, the seed of Judah, the seed of David. Amazing, amazing. Nothing he found in me. And you notice that he's preparing them because later on, in John chapter 18, we read that Judas, which betray him, knew the place. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was bringing now, he receiving a band of officers from the high priest and the Pharisees. He come there. In other words, Satan, you remember, he entered into Judas, and now Satan is leading Judas, Yehuda Ishkariot, and he's coming to take the Lord, to capture him and lead him ultimately to be crucified. Now notice at the end, verse 31, we read, but that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Arise, let us go hence. In other words, hear the Lord Jesus the Messiah, obedient even unto death, obeying the Father gave him the commandment, and the commandment was to come down to this world to provide redemption for mankind. That means that he will have, Jesus the Messiah will have to become the substitute for the sin of this world. It is amazing when we think of this, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends, the obedience of the Lord, even unto death, as Philippians 2 tells us, and that is the death of the cross. Praise God that the Lord Jesus the Messiah finished the work of redemption, and you and I today who are believers on him have assurance of salvation. And as we continue to study, and we finish now John chapter 14 in the will of the Lord, we'll continue with the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, as the Lord says, let us arise, let us go hence, and he will begin to go towards the Garden of Gethsemane, Gan Shmanim. Well, God bless you, my friend. Until the next time, shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.